The guys make their cases to convince me to play Twisted Metal in the Darkness 2, next on the AgriCast. Welcome to the AgriCast, the official podcast of AgriGamer.com. My name is Brian Bentley, and you're listening to episode 93. With me on this journey is Matthew Waite and David Becker. What's going on, guys?
Hey, what's going on?
So, this whole podcast sort of came about from actually receiving listener feedback. So, the three people who listen actually had something to say. And over the last couple episodes, one of the things that they talked about is we didn't give enough, Corey and I didn't give enough of a shout-out or enough caring to The Darkness 2 and Twisted Metal, like, or at least when I did my games that got pushed back from 2011 to 2012. I had, David, you were one of them, and then we had a couple other people who said in the article comments that Twisted Metal wasn't on my list, and it should have been. So
it really should have been.
So what we're going to do today is we're making a new little thing here called Convince Me. And what we're going to do is we'll give time to each of you guys, and we're going to, you know, talk about The Darkness 2, and we'll be talking about Twisted Metal and why not just myself, but people in general should be caring about this game. So we make sure that these two games get their just due so that... you know, I don't want anyone to feel that we're not giving, giving just desserts to a particular game, especially because after Corey reminded me earlier today that I believe my comment when we were talking about what's coming up in the first quarter, I said something along the lines, Darkness 2, meh. So he reminded me that's what I said last episode. So we're going to make sure that we give a little love to those games. David, what's going on? What have you been playing?
It's actually been a mixture of Dragon Age Origins, the Twisted Metal demo, and Final Fantasy 13-2.
So good.
It is. It is really good.
I don't know
if I'll be able to put it down with, you know, at least here on Valentine's Day. Oh, which reminds me, yeah, the other thing I've been up to is getting, you know, emergency dental surgery done.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right. Are you feeling any better? Are you?
For the most part, yeah. Jaw's mostly fixed.
What happened?
I had a wisdom tooth that decided to rupture, and it caused one of my other molars to crack, and then there was an infection, and... all sorts of crazy stuff that they had to actually go in and remove this wisdom tooth that had both the roots were hooked into my jaw. Oh. So they had to crack it out and then dig out the root. It was fun.
Disastrous.
Wow. Damn.
Oh no, the fun part was no pain meds.
Oh. You, sir, are a champ.
I tried.
Wow. Wow,
it's fun.
You at least got some gaming in, right?
Oh yeah. I took a whole. That's why I started playing Dragon Age Origins. I was like, well, I've got like a day and a half here where I'm not going to be totally functional. So
nice.
I'll give it a shot.
And so the verdict.
So friggin' slow to start, but then actually after I got going, I actually started to enjoy it.
Oh. Because I got about 12 hours in, and I was just like, I kind of don't care anymore.
I kind of felt the same way.
So I'm trying to remember how far. Like, I just got out of the first major city or whatever.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got to, like, the second city or something like that, and I was, like, killing things in the middle of the crops, and then there were like these random people showing up, and then I was trying to help out these dwarves, and I'm just like, I just don't care. I got better things to do, like anything else. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'll pick it back up someday. Who knows? All right. So, David, talk about Final Fantasy 13 too. Like, what are you loving about it?
Surprisingly, I'm kind of liking the side quest setup a lot more than before. The whole finding the fractures and all that stuff instead.
Yes, absolutely. I like finding fragments. It makes me keep my eyes peeled for, like, things kind of shimmering on the sides and, you know, looking down, like, in holes. Like, I was just, like, walking. I'm like, is there something in that hole? Shit. So I threw it. And I love throwing Mog.
Oh, yeah, I was throwing Mog.
I'll just throw him anywhere. I'll just be like, let's see if there's something over there. Woof. Boing, and you're like, see him bouncing off walls, and you're like, oh, that's not me.
But the other thing I kind of enjoy is it almost seems like it's their startup of doing Chrono Trigger again.
Oh, yeah. Where you got to bounce back and forth through the different timelines.
And changes you make actually affect things. But you can actually lock down stuff to change how the end story is going to progress. Kind of like what you would do in Chrono Trigger.
I love that game so much.
You know, I actually kind of stalled out in that game. I got towards the end, and then I just kind of... The problem is I had it on DS, so...
Oh, yeah, that's a big problem.
I was traveling around, and if I'm not traveling, then I don't play it, and if I'm not playing it, then I kind of just lose interest.
Oh, disaster.
Yeah.
See,
it's terrible.
I had it when it was on the Super Nintendo.
Hey, yeah.
I think that was the last time I've played it, outside of trying to download a ROM.
Yeah. I'm definitely loving, like, the fragment system. I actually just completed the game last night. I really enjoyed it. The ending was kind of, like, a bit of a surprise.
Did you get the canon ending, or...?
Yes, I got the canon ending. I got the standard ending.
Gotcha.
I did unlock one paradox ending.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the first one. The one in the Brush of Ruins. Like, if you take out Atlas without doing the... Without resolving the paradox, that's the word I'm looking for.
Gotcha.
That's the only paradox ending I've gotten. Is there any? Are there other endings other than the standard ending and the eight paradox endings?
I think that's it. But I know people are trying to take the paradox endings as something different. I got spoiled on what the canon ending was, and apparently it's the very sad and depressing type ending.
Yes. It definitely made me think that there might be a third one, but I read some stuff today where they were like, oh, we didn't want to give people that impression. We were thinking, like, downloadable stuff.
Yeah.
Like, okay. But it get you, like, at the end of the standard ending, and sorry, but spoilers, I'm not trying to talk about it, just saying it's slightly depressing. It's sort of like the end of Empire, where you're like, wow, they just got kicked in the nuts. Man, this sucks. You know, Han Solo's captured, Luke lost his hand. Fuck.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, give us another one.
Yeah. So I'm definitely looking forward to some downloadable content. Give me some lightning, some content with lightning and stuff. So. Anyway, Matt, what have you been playing?
We're standard. World of Warcraft, Rock Band 3, that's about it.
Are you the only person still playing that game, out of curiosity?
I think so, yeah.
I play Rock Band 3 every now and then.
Okay, alright.
It's a little more then than now, but...
Yeah. No, I'm just curious.
Yeah, okay.
So, Matt, what are you getting... If you're just playing WoW and Rock Band 3, are you getting ready for something to play, or... Are you just sort of chilling until some, like, Mass Effect 3 or something? I mean, like...
Be honest, I'm kind of getting ready for Kingdoms of Amalur.
Ah, all right. All right. Cool. David, is that on your radar at all?
I was trying to get it to be on my radar, and it is too much. It plays too much like an MMO for me.
Yeah. No, I believe me. There, especially playing the demo, there was definitely that feeling. I'm like, oh Christ, there are people with exclamation points above their head.
When I had to go out and collect boar heads, I was kind of like, I could have sworn I did that at like the beginning of WoW at some point, but.
It's almost like you wish the games knew, like, okay, you collectively put X number of hours into MMOs collecting shit. We're going to let you skip over this quest. Here's the reward.
That would be great.
Like, you automatically, like, your computer knows, yeah, you play a lot of WoW. You can skip this stuff. Here's a weapon.
Yay!
Seriously, I'm thinking about the amount of time I've put into like Lord of the Rings Online, and I'm like, you know what, I don't want to do fetch quests anymore or escort quests with really stupid escorts.
Oh god, bane of my existence.
Yeah, it's like, I understand that as your escort I have 1/8 of your health, but I'm gonna go attack that guy. like what, where are you going? No, come back, we're trying to avoid those guys. Okay, here we go.
The road's over here, dude.
Yeah. Notice we're sneaking. This is what we do. We're sneaking over here.
Yeah.
Nope. Okay. You're running into the bad guys.
All
good
right.
job.
Good job at being a fail rogue.
And I'm gonna. Yeah. I guess I'll bail you out now. Yeah. So on my end, basically, Final Fantasy 13-2 has been my entire life since like 6 p.m. Last Tuesday. So I figured it out that from 6 p.m. on Tuesday till 3 a.m. Or very early this morning when I finished the game and watched the credits roll, there were exactly 129 hours, and down almost down to the minute, 1/3 of that I was playing Final Fantasy 13-2.
Wow.
I finished the game at like 42 hours and 30 some minutes.
Jeez.
So one, and I worked 2 days.
Oh wow.
So I worked 2 full days of work, and I played 43 hours of out of 129.
Like a boss.
Like a boss, man. Yeah, since Corey's not here, someone has to say it.
Yeah.
Oh, is that the new standard now?
Yeah, that's his that is the saying, and just go with it. It's okay.
And the sad thing is I can actually picture Corey doing the side-to-side head bob. Just go with it. Just go with it.
Just go with it. It's sort of like he pulled a Corey for this podcast. He said he was going to be here.
Did pull a Corey for this podcast, didn't he?
And then he's like, no, I'm not going to be there anymore. Sorry. Oh,
jeez.
Poor Corey. He's not even here to defend himself. Oh, it's a lot funnier when you think about it.
Yep.
All right, so that's all we got for what you've been playing. We don't really have a care, don't care this week, except for there is one thing, and I'm going to start with Matt because I know David's going to have a lot to say about this. So Matt, start with you. Care, don't care about Kotaku dropping that they're going to give giving scores to reviews.
I think I care about that, you know. I think that's really smart of them, because most of the time people just go to a website, oh, what did it get for a score, you know. They don't actually read the whole entire review. I mean, I can vow myself that I do that. Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I mean, I tried to do it on Aggro Gamer as well, but every once in a while, A+ or whatever, you know.
All right, David.
First, correct me if I'm wrong. Have we not been doing that from day one on Aggro Gamer?
Correct.
Oh, wait, okay. So effectively, it's another big site who thinks that they're finally like done with trying to do all the Metacritic shit and actually moving into doing a real review outside of their first article they post, should I play X game? Yes, no, maybe. That was like the, I always like I hop over there and see what they like said for whatever game, and they're like, no, yes, yes, no, and I'm like, that's your review. And then like 2 days later, they'd actually have a full written review with a number at the bottom and or at the, number at the top and at the bottom. And I actually found myself just going doing like everybody else, like, I don't give a flying fuck. Okay, that's what they rated it.
Yeah, pretty much.
But the thing is I, you know, good for them that they're actually going to try to push that for, I know, I mean, they're a much bigger site than us, so it kind of is a little more impacting on the industry, on the journal game journalism industry.
Sure.
With them doing that, because personally, I hate giving the score because I know most people aren't going to read through my long, you know, like Amy. If I just put down, you know, two out of three or whatever, 2 out of 5 or whatever stars or whatever, everybody would be like, oh, that's an okay game, or maybe I'll get it. If you read through my review, that game is shit. I don't want you to look at my number and go, oh, okay. I want you to know that game is shit. Conversely, if I have a game that's, like, amazing, I don't want you to look at 9 out of 10 and go, I'm buying it, which I'll get into on Twisted Metal here a little more on it, because sometimes that game isn't for you. Like Splatterhouse.
Right.
I loved Splatterhouse. If I had to give it a number, I'd say 9.5 out of 10. But for like Brian, I really don't think that game's for him.
Right.
And I'd rather, you know, instead of giving the overall number critique like that, I want to go, well, you know, here's the breakdown of everything, and here's why you should, you know, play it. Or maybe you should stay away from it because, you know, like Corey likes to play MMOs and Diablo. This game is not an MMO or Diablo. Corey, stay away. Right.
Yes. And I think that's really something that we try to focus on, especially when you get down to the end of the actual review. It basically, we're the last paragraph, essentially, when you get to our reviews, is okay, here's the type of gamer that is going to enjoy this game. You know, if you're the type of gamer who really loves to go out and, you know, spend a lot of time grinding and, you know, doing the same thing over and over again, and, you know, then this RPG may be for you, you know. Or if you're really into something completely out of the ordinary, you know, and maybe the controls are a little wonky, but the story is really good, get Catherine, you know. Like, I really enjoyed that game, but I can definitely tell you that that game is not for everybody, because there were a lot of times where I was very frustrated with the controls. You know, but the story is what kept me in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we try to really focus on that. And I agree about the whole thing about with Kotaku. I mean, like, I applaud them for trying to, like, change, you know, the whole Metacritic mentality. But I mean, in all honesty, they're not really doing anything groundbreaking, you know, like, they're not doing anything groundbreaking. Like, this isn't exactly like the, you know, they're not saving children or, you know, curing cancer. They're just taking scores off of reviews.
Yeah.
Well, even if you look at what they're doing, it's still, you could still create a score based on that review, given how they give the breakdowns and all that stuff.
Right.
So it's not fully moving away. It's, you're making somebody have to come up with an algorithm on how to break down their review.
Yeah.
Whereas ours, you don't actually have to read every word to see, you know, all the hate-filled stuff we put out there.
You know, maybe we should have a score, but make it really complicated, like slugging percentage. No one can actually understand the score, so they just be like, oh, I guess it's really not important because I don't even understand how they got that. You know, it's a 1.2, and don't even put it out of what? It's just 1.2.
Yep.
Well, no, you got to go higher, because if you put 1.2, people will always assume it's either out of 5 or 10. But if you give it like a 376.
Yep.
Out of what?
That'd be fantastic. I don't know. Why, God, why?
Out of 10, what?
We rated 15 dolphins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Speaking of just totally random things, well, David, over to you. Care or don't care that Microsoft is getting rid of Spacebox?
I actually kind of care. even though I'm not a big Xbox player or whatever, I hate looking through and trying to figure out, like, when somebody, like Alan Wake, when I'm trying to write something up or just try to figure it out, they're like, oh, it's like 800 Microsoft points. I'm like, how the hell do I convert that? Why doesn't Google have an auto convert in there? You know, I want to be able to tell somebody, you're gonna be dropping $10 on this game, not 800 Microsoft points, which kind of equates to, you know, what, $10 or something like that?
$10, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. I kind of like that. It also brings the playing field down to everybody's level or up to everybody's level. I'm not sure which way to go because Nintendo and Sony have always done straight cash. Now Microsoft is.
I think that's what I like about it the most, and I think that's why I do care. Just from now, $10 is $10 is $10. Doesn't matter where I am. I don't have to sit there and be like, okay, all right. The conversion is four out of five. So if it's 800, that means if I divide it by two, that's 400. So then it's $5 for 400 times two is 10. Oh, okay. Now I remember what it is. Like, I shouldn't have to think that hard to buy a game.
We just have our review score.
Yes, and carry the one. Even if there isn't one, just carry the one at the end.
Yep.
So, Matt, wrap us up. Your thoughts on Microsoft Space Bucks?
I care. Really cool that they're doing it. Finally, you know, I don't have to be like, oh, let me get some frickin' points. No, just I will spend $5 on this, $1 on that, and $10 on this. You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. No, I'm definitely looking forward to that. And aren't we getting our conversion soon to the Sony Entertainment Network? Not really to care, don't care. Just I thought I saw someone somewhere write about that.
It's not really a conversion. It's just they're bringing kind of like what everything they were pushing at CES. They're bringing everything under one group. So like I've played around with it a little bit. I can go in and check all of my PlayStation stuff as well as all of my. Like, if I had a TV, I could go in there and see if I have anything there. I can play around with the Music Unlimited. You know, it allows you to do everything in one location.
Yeah.
Nice.
I thought they were, like, undoing the whole thing. It's soon, right? I mean, it happened already. Did I miss it?
From what I've seen, at least going through the web, it happened, like, 6 months ago.
Oh.
What?
Every time I try to go in and like use a to do anything with my wallet or like for instance make a child account on my PS3, I have to go in and instead of going in through the normal US.PlayStation or whatever, it forwards you over to the Sony Entertainment Network, and it has all the same logo. It's had all the same logos and everything that they're trying to push and go, this is brand new. Maybe it's just me.
No. I'm sure it's
That's how they're stealing my ideas.
Dun dun dun.
Yep.
Now we know.
Bastards.
Now that Microsoft's stealing my ideas and stuff.
I mean, crank call.
Wait. Speaking of Microsoft and the 720, sorry, I have all these random thoughts in my head happening today. My wife and I were watching Real Steel, and they actually had a sign, like, because it's, supposed to be in the future.
Yeah.
And it had a sign on in the arena that said Xbox 720.
Oh, I saw that. I think I saw that.
Yeah, twice. I'm like, ooh, that's quality right there.
Yep.
They were thinking about it.
Somebody at Microsoft's leaking information.
Yep.
Yes, to Hugh Jackman.
I believe it.
Yeah, me too.
Wolverine's the best person to give it to.
Hell yeah.
Actually, believe it or not, that movie was actually a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be pretty terrible.
I'm here. It was pretty good.
That's good to hear, because it's next.
It wasn't like Robot Jocks.
Well, that is the Rock'em Sock'em Robot movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think that's the first part.
God, that movie was so terrible. Anyway, so let's get into our main topic for the evening, the convince me portion of our show, and I'm thinking I want to start with Matt and Darkness 2, and I'm sure, David, you'll have plenty to throw in for this, but Matt sort of lay down like what the game's about, and then kind of stuff like not convincing necessarily, but some thoughts you're having about the game and what makes you really want to like this game is something that's really kind of staying in your mind as a game that people should be playing or that I should be playing, because I gotta be honest, man, anything I've seen so far, I still am not convinced about this game.
Okay, give me a sec. I gotta clear my throat. All right.
You serious now?
Yeah, I'm serious. All right. Let's start off with the story. The Darkness 2 takes place 2 years after the first one. You play as Jackie Estacado, who is now the Don of the Mafia family. Before in the first one, he was a hitman and stuff, and he rose up in the ranks. And now Jackie has subdued the darkness within him, and he really hates it that he has it and he's not using it. And then he gets randomly attacked at this restaurant, and he's forced to use it again. And that's basically how Darkness 2 starts. And what's good is that you don't need to play the first Darkness, because they have this feature called Previously on the Darkness that just catches you up. And plus, if you just play the campaign, it'll catch you up in like the first couple hours. So, yeah, basically, it's Jackie fighting off this new enemy called the Brotherhood, and they know like so much about the darkness. They know its weaknesses, its strengths, so they'll be coming at you with light cannons and stuff, and it makes you think of like how you're going to fight these guys, because they're not these cliche enemies like in I'm going to name drop here, Call of Duty, where they just pop out of the cover, hey, I'm here. No, they're not
Shoot
like
me, right?
that.
You're like, okay, I died. Okay, so that guy's gonna come out of that door, and then in 3 seconds after he comes out, there's gonna be another guy, and then I wait 5 seconds, hide behind this building until the guy comes out, and then I shoot him.
Yeah, there's none of that. This is active, really good AI. They will literally use everything to, not literally, but they'll use everything that they know to, flank you, to flush you out, to make sure that, you're not using the darkness as much as you can and stuff. So, there's this one guy called the Brotherhood. I think it's the support guy. And he carries this huge light cannon on his shoulder, and he just keeps it on you. And he's way, way in the back of the fight, too. So, you have to fight through all these guys or, be a good shot to get that light cannon out. Because as long as that light cannon's out, you have zero darkness powers.
That's bad, right? I'm guessing.
Yeah, you need to use the darkness powers in the game. Because it regenerates your health. It gives you the edge, really, to.
Like from YouTube?
Yeah, the
Sorry, I couldn't. I'm sorry. I couldn't resist it.
That's okay.
I go ahead, Matt.
So yeah, the AI is really good.
Now, I mean, it does it dynamically move like throughout the game, and like so if you know does the like in Halo, like in Halo Reach, it was really good about that, like where the enemies were fairly dynamic as to how they approached you depending on your play style.
I believe so. I believe it's going to be like that. There's different types of enemies. There's these mob thug guys who are just completely unorganized, don't know what they're doing. They're just hiding behind random crap, shooting at you. And then there's guys like the Brotherhood who are, these elite, super trained guys who work as a team to take you out.
Okay. So now, are they the good guys and you're the bad guy? Maybe? Or is that something we'll have to go through the story and figure it out?
Jackie's not really a nice person. He's like the anti-hero, kind of like Spawn.
Oh, okay.
That same kind of deal. But
just because, I mean, if you're carrying something called the darkness around with you, usually that's usually a bad sign, right?
Yeah, well,
that's a great sign.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, it's a great sign if you're David.
Yes.
Well, he didn't, you know, just say, "Oh, hey, I want the darkness." It was somehow his family bloodline or something got cursed, and he got it. And he was just like, "Oh shit."
And now I have things coming out of my shoulders.
Yes.
I don't, what? Right. Okay.
He looks like a horrible hentai. No tentacle jokes.
I was gonna say, I knew we should add Mike on this show. All right. So that's kind of how the game is rolling. All right. So kind of other than the AI, why should I be playing this game?
Well, there's this thing called quad wielding, where when you have the darkness out, you can dual wield pistols, and you can have two tentacles coming out, where you can grab guys while you're shooting people in the background, tear them in half, eat their hearts and stuff. You eat hearts to gain health and stuff.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, of course. The dual wielding guns are mapped to the triggers on the Xbox controller, mm-hmm. and then the tentacles are mapped to, I think you press the right bumper or the left bumper, and you hold it down and you flick the right thumbstick to where you want to whip and stuff. So it's definitely not a cliche shooter in the sense that, you know, oh, run and gun. You know, you can grab doors. You can grab doors off of cars, use it as a shield while you're taking down enemies. You can grab light posts and impale guys to a wall. You can use all this different stuff to, you know, dispose of your enemies.
See, that sounds so much like Bulletstorm.
Hey,
I could throw car doors and cut people in half, or, you know, stick them to the wall using light posts and rip them in half.
Do you get anything if you do these things?
Yeah, you get this in-game currency, which I think is like kill experience. And as you get kill experience for, you know, getting headshots, killing enemies, eating hearts, all that.
Yeah, this does sound a little bit like Bulletstorm.
Yeah, I can see the resemblance now that I talk about it. Yeah. But as you unlock, I mean, as you progress in the game and get more points, you can unlock, like, I think there's four different talent trees that you can, you know, go through and fill up. Stop.
Whoa, 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 David.
Yeah.
What? Oh, okay. Sorry.
Somebody is revving their engine right next to my place.
Nice. Yeah. That's classy.
Hell yeah.
Sorry about that.
That's right. Go ahead.
So, yeah, there are these four different talent trees, and I'm assuming, you know, one's stealthy, one's very running gun, one's 50-50, and one's something else. So you can kind of cater to your own playstyle as you level up. So you can unlock new abilities like this thing called a black hole, which pretty much you just summon a black hole, and it just sucks everything into it and then disappears. Which is pretty freaking awesome. You also unlock this talent called gun channeling, where you can channel darkness into your guns, which make them super powerful, and you're able to see behind walls and shoot through walls. So that's pretty awesome. Let's see, what else?
Wasn't there a point where you can actually just start shooting the darkness out of the gun and no longer need bullets?
Yeah, that's. I think that's the channeling thing.
Oh, okay.
Hmm. So now, you know, I know they had some kind of, like, dev discussion thing, like, last week, and then IGN did a live stream today. Now, Matt, did you end up watching both of those things, or...?
Actually, thanks to Dave over here, I got to listen in on the conference call with the devs.
Oh, okay. All right. And so what was something that they really pushed during that call?
They really,
or is it a lot of the stuff you just talked about?
I want to say they really pushed it as a story-driven game. You're going to really enjoy the story for this because, you know, the comic book has 100 issues and there's just so much rich lore in those comics. And they're just, you know, taking the best parts out of it.
All right. And David, you were watching the live stream today, correct?
That's correct, yes.
All right. And so what kind of dropped what your impressions were of what you saw today and, you know, leading up to this?
Well, the funny thing is all they really showed in there was exactly what you can play in the demo. I mean, granted, there's a few differences that they've taken out of the demo because they don't want to ruin any of the story.
Right.
But they were playing, it is exactly the same thing I remember playing in the demo, except for, like, they progressed further and there's a few other things. And for the most part, it just, to me, it felt kind of like just another first-person shooter with a specific theme put over it. Mm-hmm. With a couple of gameplay elements that add in to kind of enforce the difference between just straight up, you know, Call of Duty first-person shooter and first-person shooter where you're in the role of Jackie of Darkness.
Okay.
I mean, my opinion didn't get really changed one way or another. I'm still kind of interested in it, mainly because I want to know what they had to cut to make the ERSB happy.
No, where did they make it? Like, I mean, is it an MA, like an M-rated game, or is it a T?
I believe it's M. And I actually think that I could have sworn one of the devs said that that the only stuff they cut were the executions, and that's because they just weren't violent enough. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool.
I mean, they weren't violent enough, like as in, like you weren't eating enough of the people's hearts.
Well, see, I would like to see what they had.
Okay, they have this thing in the game called executions, where you know if you grab an enemy with the darkness, you can kill them, you know, like really quickly and instantly. Like there's one called the wishbone where, you know, you grab the guy by his legs and just wishbone.
Like, does it actually announce wishbone?
No.
Like that? Cause that would be awesome. Now that would be awesome.
It would be awesome. It doesn't, but you see all his guts inside and his rib cage ripped in half and all that crap. They have this little, another execution called Anaconda where Darkness grabs a guy, wraps him up, and then just plunges through his chest, like straight up reference to Alien, you know? And it's pretty awesome.
See, that's why I want to know what they originally had thought of, because I don't think those are too violent. Personally, I want to see the Darkness rip somebody's arm off and then shove it down their own throat and then pull it out their rectum.
That would be awesome.
You know, just call it like inverted fisting or something.
This is really unnecessary.
But see, that would be ultra violent to me.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah.
Let's get the AO rated version where you get to shove an arm down somebody's throat and pull it out their ass.
Didn't they do that?
You gotta do that kind of stuff in bullet.
That's not. That's just. they're. I mean, like, okay, so just out of curiosity, do you go shoulder first down? Or do you go hand first down so that you have something to grab on the other end?
You go hand down.
You know, I mean, do you need that handshake, you know, to help pull the arm out the rest of the way? I'm just wondering.
You definitely need that chocolate handshake.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, see, I say that because in Splatterhouse they had an execution type thing where you did reach up somebody's ass and pull their spine out.
Oh. That's awesome.
So I was just kind of, that's why I was kind of curious on what they had to cut for the ERSB.
They didn't, like, specify anything when I talked to them.
Bastards.
I know, right?
I just, how do you get into a position to reach up someone's ass, pull their spine out? How does that happen in a game?
If you actually played Splatterhouse, you would see it. It actually makes sense. Granted, it's not like a normal person size thing. It's like a kind of a creature.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of big.
So it might have a completely different anatomy structure.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of how you'd be beating up somebody with, you know, because he has like a machete or something, right?
No, he just got his fists.
Oh, I thought he had like a weapon of some kind.
Well, you
could
pick him up, but.
Right. Oh, okay. I just was trying to think of like, okay, so you're fighting this guy and then you make sure he bends over.
It's kind of like one of those weird QuickTime.
I see. All right. Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, anyway, that's not really important.
Yeah, that's
we're tangenting. We're tangenting. Let's get away from asses and onto darkness again.
Sorry.
So what kind of, like, is there like a skill tree that you need to build up to get these gun channels and the whatever else is?
I believe so. It's kind of like, I'm assuming it's the talent trees are like those in, you know, Borderlands or World of Warcraft, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
So is the whole game in first person mode?
Yes. Well, actually not the whole game. There is these certain sections that require you to be stealthy, where you take control of the Darkling, which is kind of like Jackie's sidekick. That's a part of the darkness. And he'll go around and pick out lights and distract enemies and stuff. So there's some parts where you take control of the Darkling and, I guess, unlock doors and find shit.
So there's, like, puzzle beat pieces.
I assume so, yeah.
All right. So when does this release?
I believe it releases either tomorrow or the 17th. Well, let me check.
I believe it releases here tomorrow. I think the 17th is the UK.
Oh,
right, so the EU one.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. My bad.
No, that's why we're having this.
Yeah.
So this is definitely a buy for you then, Matt. Is what you're saying?
Definitely. I loved the first one so much, and I played the demo to the second one back in PAX East 2011. And the demo came out again for Xbox Live. I'm just like, I love this game.
All right. All right, David, what about you?
As far as darkness goes?
Yes.
I'm a big fan of the lore and the art style and all that stuff, which is why I'm more than willing to give it a go, just like I did the first one. Is I just want to, you know, see what direction they actually take it in the game, how close they stay to the comics, because, I mean, they have tons of reference materials.
Right.
I do say the quad wielding is a cool little game feature to add on. To me it's not game selling, but I look for different things in the game than, you know, like I said, the story and the lore and all that stuff.
Okay. I'm afraid I'm still not really convinced, and I think part of it has to do with I'm not a huge first person shooter. I like playing the occasional COD Blops or Modern Warfare 3 or Battlefield 3, but just something like this, I would rather spend my time playing something, you know, either like Kingdoms of Amalur or Skyrim or, you know, Final Fantasy 13 2 and maybe something like that. So, just as a wrap up, if you still are not convinced that we didn't give it enough credit, please write it in the comments in the show notes, and we'll continue to try to rectify
hate mail.
Yes, or send me hate mail, bbentley@agrammer.com, or send me a tweet at Quiglin, and let me know. Just to make sure that we're trying to keep the three of you happy, or four of you. We may even have gained someone by now.
That'd be awesome.
That would be great. That would be really great. So moving along to our next, to the other game we were going to talk about, and that is Twisted Metal, a game that was, I know we saw it at E3, we saw it at CES just recently, and it was slated for a 2011 release, pushed into 2012. Comes from a very long, history, this franchise. So, David, break down about like what the game's about. You know, like how long have we been waiting for this? For this next release, and what is Jappy bringing to the table this time?
Okay, well, first off, it's like every other Twisted Metal game. It's kind of just carnage with cars. You know, it's
Carmageddon.
Kind of.
I love that game. Back in 97.
Oh,
great.
I mean, there's a little more to it, but pretty much what it boils down to is it's Demolition Derby, where it's not just ramming cars together. You can fire rockets, guns, all sorts of stuff. And kind of the whole story premise of it is there's this being, Calypso. They don't really say if he's human and just has weird powers or whatever. Pretty much has this Twisted Metal competition, and whoever comes out alive at the end, he will grant one wish, no matter how bizarre, mundane, or out of the blue it is. And it's pretty much the exact same thing that's going on in this new one is Calypso's doing the exact same thing, having the Twisted Metal competition. And the one thing that is really interesting about this is whereas all the other games in the past have focused on a multitude of different characters and their stories, their backgrounds, and then the whole reason they're in the game.
Sure.
This one, they're only focusing on three main ones. Sweet Tooth, Dollface, and Mr. Grimm.
Oh, okay.
And in doing so, they're trying pretty much from what I've been able to gather, they're kind of going Batman Begins type route with it, where they're kind of revamping the history of certain characters.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like you don't have to play all the other ones to understand what's going on. I mean, the intro for Sweet Tooth is kind of why he's doing what he's doing. And then when you get halfway through his story, they tell you a little more of what he's doing. And then you have the ending where he actually wins and gets his wish. And it's the same thing with Dollface and Mr. Grimm, where it kind of gives you their new story on why they're in the competition and progresses those three heavily through. And that's not to say that those are going to be the only three cars or characters, but they're the three.
They're focused.
Yeah. Which personally I think is a great way to go about it, because it gives them so much more depth and ability to, you know, really get you to feel for these characters or make you love or hate these characters.
Because, you know, we're all very worried about whether or not we care about the clown with his head on fire.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I care.
I care about Mr. Grimm, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just...
Go ahead. It up.
No, I'm just...
Oh.
Just bringing it up. Go ahead.
How long has it been since we've had a last Twisted Metal?
Was Twisted Metal, like, wasn't there one, like, back in, like, 2005 or something?
It's a PSP one, which I think is the actual, like, last one that came out, unless you count all the remakes and all that stuff that they've done. Like, 2002 was Black Online. 2008 was Head On.
Yep.
2008.
It was PS2.
Okay. All right. So it's been a couple of years. It's been 4 years.
4 years. So we're not talking Duke Nukem Blade or anything like that.
Yeah.
And the one, actually, 2005 was the original Head On for PSP.
Okay.
And then 2008, they, Head On Extra Twisted Edition for the PS2. So like they ported it over, it seems.
Yeah, they added a bunch of extra behind-the-scenes stuff. Like, you could view all the original endings from the first Twisted Metal. Check up some facts and stuff, and what's with the crew and all that jazz.
So something I thought was interesting from the IGN live stream was Jaffe really, instead of talking about being car combat, he was really pushing the whole concept of it being more of a fighting game where, it's balanced like that.
It really is. When you think like I've played the demo nonstop, and when somebody posted on there, it's kind of like Carmageddon and Super Smash Brothers mixed together. Where each character has their own, strengths, weaknesses, all sorts of, like, each car really is its own character. And they have their own special weapons, they have their own, obviously their own armor ratings and all that stuff, but they also have all their own little extra things. So it's like really the characters are the cars, and then you add in one of the factions onto that as well, so you kind of have two characters at the same time, if that makes sense. And it really is kind of like a 3D fighting arena, because it's not really, you know, I'm not racing around a circle like in Mario Kart, where yes, I'm shooting and, you know, doing that when I'm trying to win a race. It's you know, you've given this city or this arena, and it's last man standing. You need to, it's kill or be killed. So you're pretty much fighting for your own life to move on to the next round. And like I said, it's kind of like a demolition derby with, you know, each car is more than just I'm ramming you as hard as I can.
Right.
If that helps explain why he was kind of focusing on the fighting side of it.
Well, I think what makes it more more interesting to me, because I mean, this game really was not even anywhere near my radar until I really would listen to him. And part of it is the fact that, you know, listening to Jaffe, he's just very passionate about, you know, what he does, you know, anything he does, doesn't matter what it is. He's very passionate about it. And you pick up on that pretty quickly, but that they actually spent more time. This isn't just shit blowing up. This is, you know, balanced to the point of like really, like the nuances are really there.
Oh yeah, I mean, like they're still balancing it. Like I saw him posting something yesterday where someone was talking about the helicopter you get in there, and one of the glitches with its special weapon, and they're actually going in and revamping that. So in the day one patch when they put out, it's going to balance it even more. Even though as of right now, it's like it is kind of really balanced. Whereas like, you know, certain cars that have like the higher armor and all that stuff, they're going to be weighed down more, so they're not going to be able to drive as fast. So, you know, when they hit you, yeah, they're going to hit like a ton of bricks, but having to aim and get that hit. Whereas you got the fast cars that are speeding all over the place, yeah, they can outmaneuver and all that stuff, but you get hit by one of the bigger cars and you're toast. Like the motorcycle, it's like one hit and you're dead.
but that thing is fast, though.
Yeah, it's fast, and it's also got some. It also has its own special weapons that kind of counterbalance that as well. So it's not like you're speeding around and that's all you got. It's you have your own weapons that, you know, you can sabotage other cars, and you could throw like the flaming chainsaw, which is close to a one hit kill.
Yeah.
There's the sniper.
It's like rifle. Dragging it around. Is that what it was?
Well, the whole thing is you can throw it normal, but you can drag it around and set it on fire to do double damage or something like that. Nice. Does more damage.
That'd be sweet. You're just sort of driving up next to somebody and then you just cut them off and have a chainsaw in their front ends.
There was another thing I found out too is like the shotgun that everybody gets.
Yeah.
They actually have it built in there to where kind of position counts as well. So like obviously if you're close to the car, you're going to get more damage. But if you're on the gunner side, you're going to do normal damage. If you're on the driver side, you can do up to double damage, I believe.
Wow.
Because you're actually shooting the person who's in charge.
Right.
That's awesome. Oh,
yeah.
So like you said, yeah, they did a lot of balancing. I mean, when you look at the maps and everything, they're detailed, but you can tell that they didn't put all of their time focusing there.
Right.
It was more or less they're trying to make this game where I can hop in with any character and not feel that I'm, you know, slighted one way.
Right. Or, you know, it's not like everybody's picking the same three characters because they're the only good ones.
Yeah. Well, it's like, personally, I can't stand the helicopter. But I know people that swear by the helicopter.
I don't know. I thought you did pretty well with it at CES. I saw you flying the helicopter.
But to me, I just couldn't stand the control system on it. I don't like the up and down movements and all, you know.
Yeah.
But that's my personal play style.
Yeah. I did like in the live stream where they had Sweet Tooth turn into a giant robot.
That's
pretty badass. Yeah, he transforms into a giant robot. I'm like, this is awesome. I want to be a giant robot.
Oh, yeah, it's like he can turn it. Like, what they couldn't show you, because obviously the guy couldn't get it done, is you can actually fly around and shoot down. It's almost like you are a Transformer from the movies.
That'd be awesome.
And it doesn't turn off until you actually, I think, either run out of time or you throw your special weapon.
Yeah.
And then you turn back into the truck again.
And then try to earn that bonus back so you can turn into another robot. Yeah, that was pretty awesome. Now, how many different kind of game modes is there going to be?
The game modes?
Can't just all be deathmatch, right?
Well, no, there's obviously there's the story mode, where in each and that's three different stories that you can play, and each story only gives you certain maps. So when you open up, like, say for instance, you go through the game and play all of Sweet Tooth.
Yeah.
When you go back and you play Dollface, you might play one or two maps that are the same, but you're going to play other ones that are specific to her story. So you have to do that to get all that whole feeling. So it's kind of each story is its own game mode because you're getting different
Nice.
things. And then you also, I mean, you obviously have Deathmatch, Last Man Standing, Hunted, which is everybody kind of goes, it's kind of like Smear the Queer. You choose one person, everybody goes down on them, which sounds horrible when I say it out loud. And then you have team versions of each of those, and then you have the other mode, nuke mode, which is actually what I've been primarily focused on when playing in the beta or demo, sorry, demo, not beta. Is pretty much, it's kind of a weird capture the flag where first you got to capture the other faction's leader, drag them over to from the map I've been on. There's two different locations where you could sacrifice that leader.
Nice.
When you sacrifice that leader, you then fire off a nuke and you get to control the missile as well and fly it into the enemy statue. And three hits takes down the statue and wins the round. And each round comprises two turns a kit, pretty much, where first off you might start out as offense. So your whole point is to get the leader, drag them, launch the nuke, and blow up the other team's missile. Whereas round two, the next round after that, you're on
You're defending.
offense, so now you're trying to defend. And if anybody
Okay.
grabs your leader, you're trying to shoot them down before they launch their own nuke against you.
Nice.
And it's in the end of it all, you could it's like six different rounds where you play three as offense, three as defense, and it's just try to score as many points as possible. Like each time you hit the statue, you get 1 point. Each time you go an entire round where the other team doesn't hit the statue, you get a point. And
Oh, wow.
I'm certain there's more, but I think the demo has a few things limited in it, because I
Sure.
haven't seen any other ways to gain any points.
But most likely there will be.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a pretty cool. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and that requires a 3-on-3, I believe. Whereas other ones you can get, I think you can get by with like four players. But yeah, that's.
But is there any kind of split screen involved
Oh yeah, there
or?
is split screen.
Oh. All right, that's kind of
So yeah, I
cool.
think it's a, they do up to four split screen, but don't quote me
Well,
yet.
oh, that's old school.
I know they do two split screen.
Four would be awesome, especially if you're, get a couple guys over and.
Up to four player split screen and 16 players
Wow.
on.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah.
Wish I had a PS3.
And I'm almost certain that this is another one of those titles. I also don't want to be quoted on it too soon, but that Sony 3D like split screen TV they have, they're
Yeah.
promoting it. I believe
Yeah.
this game utilizes that.
Ooh,
Epic.
nice.
You can have the two people have full screens, but I'm not 100% on that.
That was the technology was really cool. It just, I don't know. Like, who
$300
has the,
small
yeah, for
screen.
a, yeah, for this tiny little screen. That was the only part that was difficult to stomach. It was just like, really? Why would I spend all this money on this? I don't know. I can't. But yeah. So Matt, do you have any thoughts about what have you seen so far? Or I mean, obviously, if you don't have a PS3, there's not a whole lot. It's not like you can ask if you're going to play it or not. But
Yeah.
I just as a quick side note, I do have to say one little funny thing I did yesterday. So I was in a GameStop just bullshitting around, and on a lark, I decided to go up and be like, "So, just kind of curious, I'm trying to write a story on my blog. Can you tell me how many people have pre-ordered Twisted Metal on the PS3 and how many on the Xbox?"
Oh, God.
And I shit you not, the person behind the counter said, "Oh, I think it's about 50-50, but let me get my manager." The manager came out and said, "Actually, people are preferring the Xbox version over the PS3 version."
Disastrous. Wow. That's amazing.
"I'm like, wow, I didn't know." My
I thought
mind has been
it
blown.
was PS3 exclusive.
That's fantastic. I took everything I could to hold back my laughter when the manager said that, and then I left.
God. Oh, that is awesome. That is why GameStop is fail.
Yep.
Sorry to interrupt you, Matt. It was just that whole you didn't have a PS3 thing and the whole you having an Xbox, all that stuff popped into my head.
That is fantastic. But back to you. What have you seen? What have you either liked or still skeptical about?
I'm not skeptical about anything. I love the Twisted Metal franchise. I grew up on that stuff on the PlayStation 1, and then when Black came out, oh man, forget it. That was my life way back when.
You copy of Black when you get Twisted Metal.
Yep. I love the concept of Twisted Metal. I love the stories. You know, my favorite character, who sadly isn't in this one, is Hammerhead. I mean, I used to play him all the time. I wish I had a PS3 so I could, you know, be like, hey, Jaffe, I got it. Woo! But I might just buy it for the hell of it, just because, you know, it'd be nice to hold it in my hands. Be like, yes.
That would be awesome. Actually, I shouldn't say anything because I actually did own a PS3 game before I owned my PS3. So
nice.
David, when did this come out tomorrow? Did this come out on the 7th?
This comes out on Valentine's Day.
Ooh, even better.
Yep. At least in North America, then March 1st for Europe.
Ooh. So this is, so nothing says love like shit blown up.
Exactly.
I love it. Loving it.
I already have my Valentine's Day planned.
So you guys have Valentine's Day plans other than Twisted Metal for David?
Let's see. I'm supposed to get my taxes in. I'm supposed to go back to the dentist. And Twisted.
Wow. Your Valentine's Day sucks. Taxes and teeth.
Yeah.
And
Twisted Metal.
And Twisted Metal.
Oh,
so
my.
Three teeth.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Matt?
Being single and all, I got nothing planned.
Well, that just means more gaming time.
That's true.
With your first love.
Yeah.
Yeah, we actually don't do much of the celebration on Valentine's Day itself. Just because, like, why would we go out and when everyone else is going out? So we usually wait a couple of days or to like the weekend or whatever. So I think on Friday I'm gonna make Vanessa's favorite dinner, and then we're gonna go to see a hockey game because she loves going to hockey games. So
nice.
So I think it should be a good one. Should be a good one. Yes, I get to work that weekend. That's gonna be awesome. Yeah. It's like whenever you get that first real job and you sell your soul, and then you like work weekends.
Oh,
I just go in and tell them I'm not working weekends.
Yeah, I'm sure that worked out real well for you.
I haven't worked a weekend yet.
Nice.
Yeah, but you work during that week where you're supposed to be at CES.
That is true. That is very, very true.
I'm just saying. You guys have any other games that are coming out like in the next couple of weeks that you guys can think of real quick? And
let's see, there's Kingdoms of Amalur.
Yep.
Which I know Corey's all.
Oh yeah. About. Yes, I was telling him before, you know, like before we started the show and everything, but I did end up playing the demo again. I got a connector for my Xbox 360 controller on my computer. Mm-hmm. And it does control a lot better with a actual controller than it did with the keyboard and mouse, which is odd, believe me. As a person who swears by keyboards and mice, it was odd to think that hooking the controller up made the game a lot better, but it did.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what Corey's talking about. I enjoyed it on the PS3.
Corey didn't play it. He's like, I downloaded it and played it on every platform ever was invented. They put it on the Commodore 64. I played it. Except for the PS3. I didn't play that one. wait, what? On every platform except for the PS3. Reminds me of a time I was on a trip and we called down to the front desk and we're looking for food. And they're like, well, you can call Domino's, but they're closed.
Hell.
What? Wait. Huh?
Bird.
Yeah.
Yeah, can I order pizza with no cheese and sauce?
Or bread. So you just want some sausage in a box.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's not a
problem. All right, let's. We're at a good stopping point. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's gonna wrap. I really like this idea of like if we have a couple of games where people aren't feeling like they're getting enough attention that we can talk about them. I really like this concept. I, you know, something I sort of was trying to come up with before this, but. So, listeners, if you do have a game that you would like us to talk more about, especially one that's upcoming, you know, drop us a line, leave a note in the comments in the show notes. Send hate mail because we always love that.
Yep.
Matt, drop how people can get in contact with you.
All right, you can get in contact with me via Twitter, which is Shredding Ruin. That's spelled R-U-E-N. You can also get me at my email, which is jthm773@gmail.com.
All right. And David?
You can pretty much hit me up anywhere as The Real Hades. Or if you really want to, you know, cyber stalk me, go ahead and go to agrogamer.com and look at all of the links underneath my name.
Nice. Yes, same here. You can always catch me at bbentley@agrammer.com or as Quiglin on any of the various social media networks and or gamer tags, PSN. Oh, sorry, not PSN. Sony Entertainment Network.
The SEN.
Yes, the SEN. Because that's not going to be confusing at all. Right, so you can catch me on any of those as Quiglin. All right, guys. Well, thank you both for dropping in and giving us the lowdown on a couple of the games coming out in the next 2 weeks.
Not a problem.
All right. So from the two of us, we are out. Peace.
Later.
Wait, the two of us?
Just two. Well, just go with it.
Yeah, just go with it. Yeah, Matt, you don't count.
All right, that's fine.
All right, see ya.
Yeah.